Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. It's wonderful to pull up to church this morning and see the brethren all gathered together outside and praying for Brother Randy. You see, that's action. Amen. Let's call on the preacher, man. Let's wait for the preacher. You know, no, it's action. Amen. And, you know, we all, the children of God, brethren, we all have a measure. We all should have an expectation. Amen. You know, when I pray, I have an expectation. Amen. Amen. My expectation is to see what has already happened revealed. You understand that? We're not praying for something to be. It already is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So what we do is we just pray with an expectation to see what's already been taken care of.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I like being considered the redeemed of the Lord. And they say so. Amen. Wonderful service this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Is it a wonderful service for you
Yes.
this morning? Amen. It's just a state of mind.
Sure.
You know, you can come here and, man, receive everything God has for you. Or you could sit there and reject everything God has for you. You know, Brother Pike ministered a message and even did some writings and stuff, but the fruit of your thoughts. You know, in the Old Testament we read, you know, that he'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. And you know, you got to realize that without order or control over your thought life, you will produce a harvest from what the way you think. And then you'll blame everybody else except yourself. You know, I choose this day and how I think. Come on now. You say, well, you know, I choose this day to serve the Lord, one may say. And I say, yeah, but, you know, the only way you could serve the Lord is in thought. Come on now.
Right.
You know, Brother George said, you sum everything up in a nutshell. What did he say? It's a state of mind, a state of thought. You know, my state of thought is I know who I am. You know why? Because I know who he is. Amen. And if I know who he is, like Brother Ed said, man, go, you know, I'm son of God, the body of the Lord. You know, when you know who you are, the body of the Lord is eternal.
Yes.
It's not a temporal thing. It's an eternal thing. You know, so we know who we are. We are eternity. People are looking for eternity and looking to serve eternity, but we just got to come to a revelation of what and who we are. Amen. While we're standing, let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you. Father, your word is so rich and so deep, so vast. Father, as a man, I could say so far beyond our understanding, so far beyond our comprehension. Lord God, knowing that there's so many things attainable, Lord God, but we find ourselves in measure, Lord God. Oh, Father, as I compare myself to great, great men that you have put in the earth, Lord, to walk in the ministry and walk in your will, Father, comparing myself to them, Almighty God, I find myself so far and lacking. But then, Lord God, I look the other direction and I see the lost and the wicked and them that have just mocked you, Lord God. And I'm so grateful and so thankful that you've given me understanding in everything that pertaineth to life. But Father, my prayer would not be selfish about me, Lord God, but knowing that we have the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, living and dwelling, and we could testify and overcome the worldly things, Lord God, that we could lead one into your kingdom. Father, let us each take that perspective. We want to be soul winners. Yes, we'd love to think we could win thousands, Lord, but as we look for that one, that lost, Lord, that we could take an action and reach out our hand, Lord God, and take them and pull them out of the mire, out of the clutches of satanic influence, Lord God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning as the children are dismissed to go downstairs. The children are doing ministry downstairs, brethren, and it's affecting people and affecting lives. We got men in our presence here that know the feeling to be cut off from society, and we don't speak in sorrow or compassion. We have a society that's trained to take men that violate the laws of our land and try to, their true purpose and meaning is for rehabilitation, that they could be restored back in. In some cases, some have done such wicked things that they shall never be restored back. But they know the feeling a failure, being removed, cut off, and feel the weight of their foolishness. They can appreciate the ministry, which would seem so minute and so small compared to the world problems. But you know, brethren, as a child raising up, I remember sitting at the table, and if we didn't eat all of our food, my mother would say, you know, there's little children in Africa. And she'd say, they don't have food, and look what you're doing there. And I'm thinking, well, what does it matter to that kid in Africa if I eat it or don't eat it? If it goes in the garbage can, you know, goes in the wastebasket or the waste gut, right? Either way, you know, it's. But it was still a point being said. You know, and the thing is I could be have my mind so much on the multitude that's hungry in another nation that I forget my next door neighbor that's in need. You understand what I'm saying? As a minister or an evangelist, or not even having to talk about the ministry because we're all ministers, we could be looking for the limelight or the, you know, the real great big ministerial things, and we miss the soul next door. We miss the one that we can reach. And you know, the Bible says if we make ourselves faithful over what we call the little things, He could utilize us or use us in the greater things. But you know, if I will walk past one soul without any concern, because it doesn't seem to bring the recognition that maybe I think that I desire or deserve, and I walk by that one, then I've discounted or disqualified myself to be going after the multitudes. And many times, in many cases, we don't see those things, brethren. We don't analyze. So oftentimes we think that there's so many things that are by chance. Well, I just happen to stumble across this and this is what's happening today. But the righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord according to the Bible. And, you know, we think, well, you know, this is a coincidence or I just stumbled across this and, hey, I'm going to move in that. That's not the way to walk in our life. Even though that when we come upon things, we take immediate action. When we run across things that would be unexpected things, maybe. We take immediate action in the time that these things come by us. So, you know, we're instant. The Bible says in season, out of season. You know, we've explained that. You know, most people, when you hear them quote that, they say instant in season and out of season. But it doesn't have an and in there. I'm instant. And it may look like winter time. But in other words, I got fruit on my tree in the winter. Naturally speaking, I can't expect to go get fruit off of a tree in December in our climate. But I don't have winter. There's no winter time in the life of a son of God. We have fruit continuously. Bible says in the Old Testament, the summers and I are coming to an end, and the harvest has not been brought in. You know, brethren, there's... with all of the things that are taking place in this world and all the things we see, we think of a song that's sang in the Bible to back it, but a lily among the thorns. We think of the desert, you know, blossoming like a rose. When we look to see the parched times and the burned over fields, and we still got to have a state of mind, and we're looking for that soul. Amen. There was a question asked yesterday, and it sparked thoughts with others. Brother Billy called me yesterday afternoon, was still working in the shop, busy with some brethren, and couldn't give adequate time to it. I may, if the Lord helped me this morning, to do it some justice. There's so many things when we say the Lord's the same today, yesterday, and forever. We're going to go over to Hebrews 13 here in a moment. I'm going to read some other things in that particular passage of scriptures there. You know, sometimes it would appear to be contradictions in the Word. And there is no contradictions in the Word when you come to the revelation of the Lord. You see, when I think of the Lord the same today, yesterday, and forever, I could also talk about the God that was, is, and is to come. Parallels it beautifully. Is the God that came and walked among man different than the Ancient of Days, the Father, the eternal God? With no beginning and no end, is the one that came and walked among men robed in the flesh, is he the same? Yes, absolutely the same. And you say, but You know, the Father, when he appears according to the scriptures, that every element and everything is melted away. Brother Pike used this as an expression. You take the power lines out there and they're changed and there's variation and stuff, but a lot of them are carrying about 33,000 volts, which would be a very significant. And you put that full thing into your house and it burns it and consumes it. But then yet you put a transformer out there on that pole, Jesus showing the transformer hanging there on the cross of Calvary, and he transformed the power of God down that we could receive it by measure. So he's the same, but then yet he veiled himself. Moses, when he came down off the mountain being typical, showed this exceedingly bright glow, and they had to put a veil over. So there's, you know, you say, well, is he the same today? Yes, yes. But then yet we have to also, with that being said, is the God to come, and we say the one that was, is he going to be the same? Absolutely the same purpose, the same plan, everything exactly the same. But he is not going to come to be spit upon, to have his beard plucked, or to have his back plowed like a field. That'll never happen again. And you say, well, but then that makes the one to come different than the one that was. The purpose and the plan and everything was exactly the same. The thing is when we start looking again in dimensional differentiation, when he comes to the Jew, back to the natural elect, his purpose and plan for them is the exact same as the plan for the spiritual elect, is eternal life with him. Amen? It hasn't changed. And he said, well, you know, in the law, you know, when we go back to the God that wasn't in the law, you know, if a man was caught in the act of adultery, they would take him and stone the woman and stone death. Sometimes they'd take their children and kill their children. They'd take their livestock and kill their livestock. You know, God's not that way today. Sure he is. He's exactly the same way today. The thing is, because of a dispensation of grace and the blood on the mercy seat, that him not looking upon us, because his judgment's exactly the same. And when the people are resurrected in that second resurrection, when they come forth the dead, they will stand accountable to that same mind of that same judge that took and stoned every man and woman, and the earth opened up and swallowed them up, and they'll stand before him and they will receive the very identical judgment. Amen. Being stoned to death is minor judgment compared to being cast into eternal damnation. So when we start looking in dimensional projection and we start, you know, breaking things down, it's one and the same, but then yet it's differentiated differently in the perspective. And you say, well, how could it be the same and how could it be different? We say one God, one faith, one baptism. Water baptism is different than fire baptism, but there's only one baptism. And the purpose of all isn't the same. In the breaking down of things, Brother George used to say like this. He said, you take a telescope and it has three stages, one, two, three, and one looks a way off. You know, and then you pull it back in. And he said, it all comes back into a oneness. So when we project things out in understanding in dimensions of was, is, and is to come, today, yesterday, and forever, we open it up and we reveal it, but it all comes back into the one and the self-same purpose. God's plan and purpose for mankind, it started at Genesis 1, and it ends over in the book of Revelations. And the thing is the purpose and the plan is not wavering. It's not given to change. So many times, scriptures of looking at them in just one little perspective or purpose, they could seem like, man, this just, I need help with this, or there's a problem with this, or I don't understand this, one might say. You might hear a man of God say, well, I don't understand. And the Bible said the wicked don't understand. The Bible says we understand all things. So we got to even be careful of that. As a man, I understand nothing, but as a son of God, I understand all things. The thing is what veil or what measure am I? I might understand things in a 30-fold perspective. Hey, praise God for that. Some don't understand anything. They're blind. They don't hear or see nothing. You know, if you got a child that's in fourth grade and he just passed the fourth grade and he made honor in the fourth grade, praise God for that. And you can sit and look at him and say, man, I know more than you. Hey, where he's at, he's doing well. Man, he's an honor student. You know, why are you comparing him to what you think you have? That's a foolish even state of thought, isn't it? But what we don't understand, brethren, is sometimes when we compare ourselves by ourselves or in those kind of ways, we're just bringing more accountability. If you feel like you know more than the preacher, you're just saying, hey, I'm more responsible, more accountable to him. I owe it to him to help him. I owe it to him to get on board with him. But when you want to get up in the front, God don't work that way. You understand that? God doesn't work that way. Because you're thinking too highly of yourself. But Jesus himself, being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he came down to the very lowliest of place and he washed feet. And see, sometimes your education or your knowledge can't be utilized because you've never made yourself a servant. Amen? You never humbled yourself enough to serve others. I'll tell you, that's the principle to taking the head. That's the principle of being a leader, is learning to serve. Amen? With a true love. You know, sometimes we could practice things. Brother P was telling me in one of Brother George's message, and he spoke about the will worship religion. He said, Brother Rob, you use the terminology, call it the second heaven and the soul realm religion. I remember ministering messages about it, the soul realm people. You see, in the soul realm, there's a light. The third heaven is light. In the soul realm, we have light and darkness. Talking about contradiction of scriptures again? The Bible says light and darkness can't dwell together. You say, do you believe that, Brother Rob? That's speaking by the third heaven. There is no darkness there. None. Zero. The Lord Jesus Christ being the light of the city, there's no darkness there. None. Zero. Now over here in earthly perspective, like I said, you know, we're out here in the daylight working and stuff, and we're working away, and all of a sudden at a certain time of the day, snap your fingers and now it's pitch black dark. Don't work that way, does it? Can you say that the twilight time is an intermingling of light and darkness? Well, you see, that's contrary to the scriptures. You see, this is why we got to get a revelation of understanding. Because it would be contradictive when we say light and darkness can't grow together. Then we go over and in one dimension we got wheat and tare. In another dimension there's no tare. In one dimension we got wheat and tare. And they're growing together for a time and a season. And through the skill, you know, we start plucking tares out. And if we grab too many at one time and try to yank them out, sometimes we get some wheat. So we got to be very cautious, you know, when we start differentiating dimensions. See, in one aspect, I could say there is no tares. Amen. There is no sin. Amen. There is no death. Amen. There is no suffering. There is no tears. Brethren, I cry tears. But in that third dimension, there's no tears. We're over here in the travail dimension. The warfare, the fight, the struggle. Amen? You know, we love to talk about the third heaven. We love to talk about the completion, the perfection. You know, the real, true assurance. You know, with no wavering, no doubt, no unbelief. You know, that's wonderful. Well, can't we just stay there? Can't we just stay there and tell you? We got to bring that confidence, that faith in that spirit dimension over into this one to bring it forth and bring it alive and manifest. You say, well, you say these things often. Sometimes you approach it in a different way. And I will continue to do that while we're in this body, while we're in this flesh. Because it's a continual warfare. You can get to a place like, ah, man, I'm at ease, man. I ain't no warfare. You know? Well, you're not on the battlefield then. I'm telling you, when you're winning souls, you're in a battlefield. Because there's an adversary that's pursuing you. As I talk with some of the brethren in the prisons, I tell them, I say, look, I said, you know, you've got to expect this, brother. You have absolutely got to expect this because you're winning souls in there. You're bringing light to people and understanding and revelation to them. And I said, Satan ain't just going to sit back and say, oh yeah, look at that guy. He's going to do everything he can to destroy you and kill you. And he's going to pursue you. Amen? And you got to learn to be a fighter. You got to learn how to fight. You know, when your profession is negative and your profession is weak, you're not fighting. Amen? You're yielding yourself to the adversary, to the enemy. I made a statement to one about the prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. And you say, well, you're promoting your writings, Brother Rob? It wasn't my writings. Amen? You know, I may have been the author of it. You know, the Apostle Paul could say, hey, I made by my hand, by my pen, I did write these things, but it was God-breathed and God-inspired. But the thing is, brother, when we look at things like this, and the reason I bring that thing up is because, you know, there's a prayer life that we pray in weakness to find strength. But again, when I say you're standing before the enemy, you don't show humility to him. Oh, well, I'm the least of all, nothing. When you stand before him, you're standing there as a mighty man of valor that's been girded up, that has been equipped and empowered, that's got this full armor of God on. And you're standing there like a soldier that's not flinching. You think David of old stood before Goliath and goes, well, I know I'm just a little guy. I know that I'm the smallest in stature. You know, like that. But, you know, he stood there in all the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said, my God. He called on his God. He said, my God, amen. And he stood in the name of the Lord, the power, amen, the authority of God. Amen. And this is where we have to become again, as we start speaking, into a state of mind. When I stand before the enemy, I stand in a state of mind of strength and power and valor. And I'm unmovable. I'm not even going to flinch at you, Slewfoot. I'm not even going to budge. Man, I'm going to stand strong. Amen. See, in will worship, a man could stand like that and he could speak like that. As I told you, I spoke to that preacher. And he was stage 4 cancer, deathbed, we may say, in hospice. I call him up to talk to him, and he had all the right things to say. You see, this is why we got to differentiate between what we say will worship and real spirit worship. Because will worship, it isn't, you know, manifest. It isn't going to come to be. You're saying the right things. Now, let me go back to the second heaven thought there for a moment. The second dimension, the soul realm. You see, there is illumination there. And when people come out of the first heaven or come out of their natural carnal world and mind of Egypt with all the savoring the things that would be of this world and of the flesh, when they come out of that mind and they come into the second heaven, there's an illumination. They say, man, I see the light. Man, I'm a creature of light. I'm a child of light. Man, I'm a child of God. And let me tell you, there's a lot of beautiful things happening in the second heaven that are God and are the power of God and are miracles and different things. We read the other night about the ministers of Satan transforming themselves. They're transforming themselves in that second realm of light. Man, there's wonderful things taking place there. And it's just God that condescended down to this lower estate that he could bring you and catch you up into another. You know, we say there's a door open in heaven. Well, there was a door open into the second heaven for all. The door open in the third is for the elite only. It's different there. We'll read right here in Hebrews 13 in just a moment. There is a place that they cannot get to. There's people in this world that cannot get to where Brother Rob's at. They never will. They cannot. They never will. They can't. You say, why do you have to compare it to yourself? Because I'm a son of God. He's given me everything that pertaineth to life. You see, we got to have a good profession, saints of God. You can't have a negative profession ever. You're going to have a profession of his works and labors. And I've seen great men of God go through suffering and physical infirmities, and their profession never changed. Some of you that knew Brother Pike went through some real physical travails and suffering in his end days. You say, oh man, what kind of man of God was he? He was a powerful man of God. My Lord and Jesus himself went through some real suffering. He was on a cross and was suffering, brethren, suffering to the point of sweating blood before he went there. And are you going to find fault with him? Hey, physician, heal thyself. When people look at a man of God that comes down in his later times and they see the suffering and the failure of the physical body, say, oh, he must not have had faith. You're a fool if there ever was one. You've got to be one of the most ignorant reprobates in your mind that ever was. I'm sorry to talk that way. No, I'm not sorry to talk that way. I'm not apologizing for that. You're some kind of an ignorant individual. Brother Pike, I was down visiting after I was up here pastoring. I was sitting up visiting, and I would go down and stay with Pete and Cassandra. Usually I got down there about 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday nights after ministering over here. We used to have Sunday night service. I'd get down there 1, 2 in the morning, and I couldn't wait to get over to the Father's house, hoping that he would come out. Many times brethren are going off to work on Monday and are going to go work, plan on being back to men's meeting on Monday night. And I'd go out there and sit, sometimes over until noon. He'd show up. Sometimes he would already be there. Sometimes he'd show up over there at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I was looking to get some fellowship. One morning he came out and he started talking, going into Revelation about the body. Astounding. The knowledge that he had would astound doctors. Talking about each and every part of the body, about the organs and what they do, and then bring a revelation out to those things. But he looked me right in the eye and he said, "Brother Rob," he said, "it doesn't matter what happens to me, and it doesn't matter what happens to this body." He said, "Remember, it's the revelation of the Lord." And when you think this way, brethren, or the contrary to that, you got to look at every great man of God. That Peter went by the way of the grave, we might say, or the Apostle Paul. Or we could talk about Brother Branham. We could talk about Brother Pike. We could bring it down into presence, yes. But brethren, you know, that carcass of the Word, that the Word robed himself in, the Word flesh, you see, we no longer know him after that. What do we know him by? The mind of the revelation that he brought forth to us. We know him by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. And we saw how he humbled himself and condescended to men of a less estate to bring forth himself. Amen? And to show himself. Brother Chuck, do you have your phone with you? Did you get a text this morning? We have a brother supposedly supposed to be hooked up with us this morning. We're going to go into reading some scriptures right now. And Brother Matthew Sargent, we come through by the way of Brother Tony Lord. Some of you know and write these brethren and know them by name. Brother Matthew called me yesterday and got to speak with him for a minute. He was Catholic. He's been up and down through most of his life, in and out, different things, but mostly, he said, associated to Catholic and Baptist and different things. And he's so excited about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man was bubbling over with an exuberance for the love and the things of God. And it's encouraging and exciting. I just wanted to greet him this morning, trust that he's on. He said he was going to be hooked up with us this morning, and as well as Brother Tony with him this morning. God bless you, brethren. I trust Brother Jesse's on with us likewise. But brethren, it's encouraging to see men start to see. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I know we went into some doctrine the other night and was talking about the second heaven. And it's probably one of the most active realms that there is. And you say, "Oh no, I think the third heaven is more active." Third heaven's a lot of, I mean, you have beautiful things continuing on through all of eternity, yes. But right now, to our understanding and what we see and where we're at, we understand the third heaven, but all the struggles and the fight and the travails has taken place in the second. When we look for the illuminations and the light, as I say, one scripture says that light and darkness, bitter and sweet, can't come forth from the same well. And the thing is, yes, it's just like we were talking about today, yesterday, and forever. Factual statement and truth. But this mediation realm, the cross, the crossing over between the two, the transformation. Remember this, that when the caterpillar went into the cocoon shows the second heaven. And it was a worm when it went in there. And as it went into this stage of metamorphosis and transformation, when it came out the other side, it was a creature that didn't have to crawl around on a stick. Amen. It flew. It had the ability to fly. And this is what the second heaven is. You can enter into it as a worm. Again, as the Bible said, "Jacob, thy worm." You can enter into that dimension as a worm. And you don't make it through, whatever happens, and then you'll find yourself going to corruption. Or you could go through the transformation, the metamorphosis, and come out as an eternal creature in Christ. We got a little discussion, I believe it was yesterday, but talking about eternal. And man has a spirit in it that's going to live forever. All men. Come on now. The destiny is what's being chosen, where its dwelling place is. Amen. So we don't seek eternal life, we are eternal life. But we seek after the destiny of that eternity. Amen. Let's read here in Hebrews 13. Trust the Lord will help us a little bit. Amen. Let brotherly love continue. Man, I had a brotherly love yesterday, man. Man, I really love you, brother. Praise God. But today you're a stinking jerk. Oh, let me continue in brotherly love. Amen. I make things too easy sometimes. I know you guys never struggle with that. And as I told a man one time that was in my face rebuking me, calling me a devil, and I said, I love you, brother. And he said, you don't love me. And I said, sir, I do love you, but I'm having troubles liking you. Amen. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I love that scripture. We know we've expounded on it many, many times. Amen? Many times have we expounded on that. You know, I think we all understand what angels are, but sometimes we have a limited thought of an angel. It's like, well, you know, my grandmother was a real saint of God. She prayed and she preached, some say. Help us, Lord. You know, and she was in an automobile wreck, man, and an angel came and got her out of the car. The car caught on fire, and she was pinned in, and an angel took her and got her out of the car, man, and thus. And, you know, praise God. Do you believe those things, brother? Sure I do. Come on, man. We're, you know, this little temporary world of comprehension of sight, touch, and feel is nothing. You know, so yes, I believe those things. But if that, again, as I say so all the time, if that is your limit to what an angel is, you're miserable. You know? But let's read this defining definition here. It says a messenger. I'm a messenger of God. Oh, I knew you thought you was an angel, Brother Rob. Yeah, you're standing before the angel of the Lord. Amen. And I look at you as the angel of the Lord. Amen. An angel of God. Okay, number one, a messenger. Two, an angel of God. Three, Satan, a demon. Oh, you can't call him an angel. Sure I can. An angel of death and hell and the grave. He's a spirit. Amen. As well as God. A person carrying forth a message from God. A servant, a disciple, a pastor, an elder, a prophet. You see, we don't think of that when we think of an angel. But you got to remember, an angel is a spirit, and man has an angel. God has an angel. It's a spirit. You remove the angel out of a man, there's no life to that body no more. You know, when the Bible says, you know, beware when you entertain strangers unaware, because it's angel. You see, you need to beware. Why? Because it could be a demon. It could be a demon trying to get clutches in you. Amen? And he could come in the name of the Lord. And he could come as an angel of the Lord, but it's an angel of hell. And many times, you know, you reject something as thus saith the Lord, or an exhortation from a minister, as it said, a messenger, and you come and you refuse it, and you in your mind think that you haven't rejected God, but you have. That's why it says to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I was in depths of conversation with another minister out of state the other day. And I told him, I said, you know, we've got to come to this revelation and understand that God is going to send us forth to do things that we know before we go that there's not going to be any accomplishment to what we think should be done. Well, we're going to go because we're going to win a soul. No, you're going to go and bring judgment to one because he's going to stand before the Lord one day. And that man, when he stands and called before the King of Kings in the judgment, the white throne judgment, there's going to be a witness there. He's going to say, sir, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Don't you remember I sent Brother Rob? Don't you remember I sent Brother George? Don't you remember I sent this brother? I sent Brother Randy? I sent this man to you. It was the angel of the Lord. And he stood there and declared my mind and my thoughts and my will and my wishes to you. And gave you opportunity to repent and gave you opportunity to do what was right. And you rejected. Beware when you entertain strangers. Brother Pike was out among the brethren fellowship. And stay with me, brother. I don't like disrespect. I got some of you really locked in, and I hate to have to do that, but I got some that their mind is off somewhere else, doing something else, and it vexes me in the spirit. And it can change the whole course of some trying to do some teaching. Just reverence the thing of God. You're standing before the angel of the Lord trying to reach your heart. and you're somewhere else in your mind and your thoughts, amen, you bring damnation, destruction, hardships to you. Amen. You see, now it causes other ripples in the water, so to speak. Let's go on. I try not to have to do that, brethren, but sometimes, you know, when you have somebody disrespecting the Lord in your service, you know, there's consequences for that, and I'm a soul winner. I'm concerned for people. But again, as I told this preacher, I said, there's times that we're going to go do that, and that's for the judgment's sake. Well, I just want to win souls. Well, you know, the judge that took a job and was voted in by the city to be a judge, he would like to just be there making these godly judgments and saying, sir, I perceive that you're innocent. I'm setting you free. You were wrongly indicted. And they've held you and incarcerated you in prison for 3 months while you're in trial, but you're an innocent man. You're free to go. Isn't that wonderful to think of something like that as a judge? But it's not always that way. Sometimes he's got to stand and look at the mother, the wife, and the children of a man and say, sir, because the authority invested in me by the state, I'm going to put you to death. And he's got to see the remorse. The children are going to be fatherless now. The wife that's going to be husbandless, huh? Come on. But that's still what he's got to do, as it's his responsibility. That's why the Bible says, woe unto him who holds a sword back from blood. Oh, I just want to love people. I just want to bless people. I want to encourage people. Oh, God loves you. Oh, you're the apple of his eye. Yes. Man, I love to talk about the blessings of God, the prosperity of God, you know, those things. But I also have to take the sword out and can't spare. If evil comes against the city and I don't cry out against it, then I got the blood on my hands. That's not the motivating factor to me. But you see, that would be selfish for me to just be motivated because I've got to reprove you or exhort you because I'm going to have your blood on my hands. No, I'm motivated by love. I'm motivated because I care. Amen? And we'll put ourselves in harm's way as the Lord and Savior did. As Moses did. Didn't even get the cross in. He was more concerned for his people. Let me take and receive the punishment for they could make it in. Can you come to that kind of a love of God, saints of God? Amen? That's where I want to live at. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. Do we have that kind of compassion? God help us. Amen. Do we have that kind of a compassion, truly? You know, some of these brethren that maybe been in bonds or been incarcerated and stuff, they may have more compassion for somebody in there because they've been there. You know, I could talk about my childhood and being locked up for 45 days. That's long enough for me. 45 days was long enough. I know these big time guys, you know, Brother Jeff back here done 10 years. I could have done that standing on my head. One guy went before a judge like that, and the judge sent him to some kind of sentence. I don't remember what it was. And that's what the guy replied. He said, I ain't no problem. I can do that standing on my head. He goes, okay, well, let's go ahead. And he added yours to it. You don't want to be ignorant and arrogant and haughty before no judge. Probably cooled off a little bit then. I was in court with my son many years ago, and they brought this man forth for not paying his child support. And the judge looked at him, and he said, well, I think he gave him 60 days. He says, I think 60 or 90 days in jail. He said, I think I'm going to put you in jail for 60 or 90 days. And he said, well, how am I going to pay my child support, sir? So he said to the judge, how am I going to pay my child support? He put me in jail. And he goes, what's wrong with you? That's why you're going, because you're not paying it. You know, come on, man. You know, but people think that way. We always reason with the judge. Don't make the judge no good. Amen. We can back up a chapter and read about some of them things. Bring some real clarity to it. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Again, we like to differentiate this. I could talk about, we got brethren this morning tuned in with us that are incarcerated in bonds. As I was talking with Brother Sergeant even yesterday, I said, well, brother, I said, there's many people. This man had freedom. This man spoke like a man had been set free. I mean, this man had set flight And he lifted out of the prison, out of the bonds, out of the iniquities, out of the death and the curse. And he was flying free, man. He was speaking, naturally speaking, he was speaking like a man that was the King of Kings and the governor of all things. Amen. That's the way the man spoke. He didn't speak like, oh me, oh poor me, oh this and that. I talk to some prisoners that are that way. It's always, oh me. But this man had been set free. So we talk about bonds, and he could look at these other men and say, these guys are the ones in bonds. Amen. And again, there's people in the free world that are more bound than people that are incarcerated. Amen. And some of them could be in eternal bondage. You know, we think of Satan being bound in the pit for 1,000 years and then loose for a short time. We know his destiny, but there's people that are bound. You've heard me say Brother Pike speaking about one of his brethren. And he said, he made this statement. He said, the brother's been in prison for 6 years and he don't even know it. Isn't that something to be bound and be in prison and not even know it yourself? But that's being bound in intellectual darkness, not having eyes to see. And bound up in your own deceits and your own ministries and your own thoughts and your own self-esteem. And you are the most seriously bound. Again, I refer to my testimony. I haven't read it in many years. I probably haven't read it since I wrote it. Maybe I ought to go back if I refer people to look at it. Maybe I need to go back and define it maybe a little better. I might have a little more wisdom, a little more light now that I can maybe define it better. But my testimony was the thing that I testify the Lord the most about being set free was from religion. I'll tell you, religious spirits bind you harder and stronger than any other spirit there is. You say, what about a sodomite spirit of a queer? I said, man, that's cakewalk. It's so obvious. Come on now. But a religious spirit, you think you have something that everybody else needs. And you're imparting it to people. And you're chaining people and binding people. A religious spirit has an illumination. It shines forth bright in the second heaven. It's an illumination. Come on, brother. And when you come out of the first heaven into the second heaven, the illumination is light, and you'll find yourself drawn to the light. But you got to remember, as Brother Pike used the terminology, he said a black light. It's a different kind of an illumination. So we got to be careful what we're illuminated by. Amen. Come on, saints. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Amen. We could rend the veil of that and go into a dimensional perspective. Amen. I'm married unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the bride, and it's undefiled in all of its ways. Amen. Been washed and made without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. There's your true marriage, brethren. You know, we could talk about this other marriage, about a man and woman coming together in holy matrimony, and they come together and join together. It's just a reflection of the real one. Amen. But then, yet, we could be married unto Satan. And he could be the father, the Bible says. When we yield our members to the things of this world and yield our members to the flesh. You see, you could be in church, you could pay tithes, and you could ever seem to be so faithful and be right there with Brother Rob or whoever. And you could be so bound to the world. Amen? And not even know it. You see, we're talking about religious darkness and being bound. The lesser light, the twilight. Amen? Remember, there's an illumination, light and darkness both. If we want to look for the parallel of the second heaven and we start going into allegories, we go over into the Old Testament and we find them in Egypt being in bondage. And then when they come forth out, we see the great beautiful parting of this Red Sea and they come across and are out in a wilderness. Man, we had manna coming down out of heaven. We had water coming forth out of a rock. All typical things, brethren. Very beautiful things. But then yet the earth opens up and swallows up God's elect. When I say that, I'm talking about natural elect. Amen. There's a warfare, a fight. There's some lost in the second heaven. Oh, but man, I'm a son of God. Praise God. Nothing could be laid to my charge. I hear your profession, but is it given to change? Woe unto them given to change. You see, when your profession is changing on a day in, day out basis, there's something wrong. We need to be steady, steadfast, stable, unmovable. You see, it frightens me in the aspect when I see a man given to change. Then I see winter time in his life instead of being instant in season. it makes you paranoid, we might say, or frightened, is because you know that the man is ice skating on the edge of ready to slip into the flames of hell. You understand that? Walking on the fence. Sometimes they walk on the fence showing you their skill, boy. Look at this. You know, I could walk the tightrope. Look at me. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, one slip and it's over. Amen. You know, if you want to be a daredevil, you don't want to do it in this dimension. Amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. I'll tell you, verse 5, if we were going to expound on it, brethren, I know we're kind of doing line upon line here. I like to teach, challenge people to think. You know, I can come in here and preach and shout and run and scream. Amen. But I want to get some word in you. Amen. The word's what sets you free, brother. The word's anointed. Amen. Amen. The word is anointed. And the anointing breaks the yoke. And sometimes we have yokes around us, bondages around us. Amen. Well, I'm a son of God. I ain't got no yoke. We're talking in the second heaven, brother. Sometimes you could be yoked with anger. Come on now. Easily angered. Sin not in your anger, the Bible says. God has an anger. There's a righteous anger. But it depends on what you do with it. You hear me say so oftentimes the Lord said that righteous indignation, anger, righteous anger, doesn't justify fleshly animosity. You get in a man's face and you rebuke him and you think you're something. You're just esteeming yourself, thinking that you're better than them. Don't ever look at anybody like you're better than them. You see some poor heathen on the street. You see some poor lost harlot on the street. And you look at them, my God, you wretched thing. Don't forget where you came from. Come on, brethren. Don't forget your ignorance and foolishness. That ain't how we win souls, brethren. You know, we're not going to win no soul by telling them how stupid and ignorant they are. Yeah, there's a time to rebuke, but you got to see that there's a foundation, a little bit of strength, a little bit of taproot. You know, let them get a little bit of root. Sometimes we've got to speak light. Let the wheat and the tare grow together for a minute. You start plucking up the tare. Sometimes you got to start making sure you're getting some nourishment to that wheat to get down there and get a little bit of root. And then you can start removing and be careful. Some of our ministries is like, and I'm guilty, brethren, if anybody ever has been, but I can speak to you out of experience. Sometimes you go into the surgery room with a hatchet instead of a scalpel. I'm glad I could laugh about it. I hope the Lord's smiling at my ignorance. Oh, I see a little bad spot on your leg here. Let's just take the leg. Amen. Sometimes, you know, the surgeon has to make that decision to take a leg. You realize that? Sometimes he has to make that kind of a decision to save the life. I like the part of that verse, I will never leave thee. I think of the little poem that people read about, you know, the footprints in the sand. But Lord, when this thing's got real time, there was two. But then when it got real bad and real struggles and real hardships, there's only one. He said, that's when I was carrying you. Amen. We're serving a mighty God. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. Have you come to that place? How easy was that place to come to for our Lord and Savior Jesus when we go back to Gethsemane? Was it easy for the Son of Man to just to walk down De La Rosa? Was it easy for him to bear that cross? Was it easy for him to be nailed to that thing? Oh, we talk about the positive things, yes, that he was silent before the slaughter. That when he was being nailed there, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they could do. That's the victory and the power. But what kind of travail was there before that? You see, sometimes when these things come to us, we haven't conditioned ourselves for that kind of a suffering. The Bible said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. You know, we need to be prepared when they come with all matter of evil against us. And sometimes when these evils come against us, we haven't been prepared. The preparation came in Gethsemane. He travailed before the Lord with drops of blood. And sometimes we got to find ourselves crying out between the porch and the altar that we can find that we're prepared and equipped in Christ that we can suffer. Amen? And we don't do the preparation nor the time. And then when it comes, we fail. Oh, but we don't fail. Brethren, go back to your types in the second heaven. How many felt the earth swallowed up thousands? And if you want to get right down to the end of the matter, only Joshua and Caleb came across into Canaan land. That's narrowing it down a little bit when you say small flock, huh? Few be there that find it. Well, we don't like to talk about that part, but we need to understand that part, for we know what the fight's about and where the struggle's at and where the fight is. Amen? Remember them which have the rule over you. You see, this is why women cannot be pastors. Women are anointed. Women have the love of God. Women have revelation. Women have understanding. Women need to be honored. They need to be loved and respected. They have a vision in the church. We got sisters downstairs right now imparting spiritual gifts into children and understanding the elderly women, teaching the younger women. Teach them how to be mothers. Teach them how to keep their thoughts right. Teach them how to walk as virtuous women. These are the things we need to see happening every day. But this is why women can't be a pastor. Right here it says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Rule over you. Rule over you. You say, Brother Rob, you don't have no rule over me, and that's why you're on your way to hell, brother. Well, I'm my own independent man. You're on your way to hell. I make my own decisions. You're lost. I do my own thing. You're a heathen. I do what I want to do. You're a reprobate. That's all strong talk, Brother Rob. Well, how do you want me to talk to the devil? I don't pet devils. Sorry. Well, man, I'm a son of God, man, and I've got too much revelation and too much understanding. I'm not going to submit to you. You're just too small. I got so much more understanding. You're a reprobate. Amen? You've never come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you what my Lord and Savior done. My Lord and Savior got down and washed my feet. My Lord and Savior laid His life down. And I was a wretch and no good. And He laid His life down for me. But you're too elevated in your own self-conceit and thoughts that you'd ever lay your life down for everybody, because everybody's supposed to serve you and do for you and humble for you. Boy, you're so most miserably lost. That is one of the most God-awful places a man could come. But He's came and partook of the light of the second heaven. And He's transformed Himself, and He doesn't even know that He is an angel of Satan. And He doesn't even know that. Because He's so self-illuminated in Himself that He tries to overthrow God. You come into the temple, amen, thanking. Let me tell you something. That's the abomination of desolation. You hear me say it? The church, again, they've got their ideas of what the abomination of desolation is, but when I take my carnal mind and my carnal thoughts and I supersede or override the mind of Christ, when the Lord says, hey, this is what I want you to do, and I come up with another plan and another way and got it all reasoned out, there's your abomination right there. Amen. And you're desolate. You found yourself in a parched land with no life. Amen. You say, Brother Rob, you don't have to speak so strong. You can't pet devils, brethren. You've got to deal with these things straight forth and forward. Amen, for they could see. I like Brother Josh working with the little guys. Some of you might take offense, man. He's out there screaming at these kids and young. He's teaching them. Going to teach them to receive discipline. Or teach them that there is authority in the earth. Teach them that they must submit. Amen? Or they get washed out. You know, some men get washed out in boot camp. They can't submit to authority. Got some guy in your face screaming at you? Come on. Where can anything good come out of that? Well, let me tell you something. We need to come to a place that we could submit our spirit. If we can't submit one to another, we'll never submit to God that we cannot see. If you can't submit to a man that rules over you, well, you don't rule over me. I know you need to let me. Does that make you better, me better than you? Absolutely not. Amen. It's just the order of God. You see, a man that won't humble himself to his wife, then he'll never be able to humble himself to God. Because he represents the wife in that dimension, and she represents him in that other dimension. See, people don't see that. But my wife's no good. Don't you remember you was no good?
Amen.
But my wife's a whore. Don't you remember that you were in perversion? That you were yielding yourself to the members of Satan? You were being perverted, but he decided to wash you and cleanse you and make you without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. You got to believe that. And you got to profess that. You got to speak that. Amen? But we don't. We always put ourselves in a different plateau than everybody else, brother. And that's a dangerous thing to be. We are the body of Christ, members in particular. You know, the Bible talks about the comely parts. You know, and you think, well, you know, hey, I thus and us. But you know, brethren, we need to know that each joint supplieth to another. We need to supply one another with love and concern.
Amen.
Amen. Nourishing one another in the word. Remember them which have the rule over you. I say this is where the women can't, because he said he suffered not the woman to sup authority over the man. Now, as a woman sitting in my presence today could say, you know, I get sick of hearing that. You know, this message is so male chauvinist, us, us, and us. Well, that's okay. You know, you're still a whore on your way to hell, but that's all right. We're not going there. I'm talking about in another dimension. You see, I can't usurp authority as a man. I can't usurp authority in a fleshly perspective over the mind of Christ. That makes me the whore. You understand that? I can't do that. You know, you say, well, you use too strong a terminology. Again, you got to expose it for what it is. The problem with the ministry today, they water everything down and make everything so okay. You know, God loves everybody. What a misunderstanding if there ever was one. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. You know, there's a lot of revelation that I did speak a little bit about it there at the beginning of the service. But at the same time, brother, from Genesis 1, the thoughts of God have not changed. We see a woman that gets involved in here. You know, we talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's so many things that we go there, but it's still the same today. You know, the woman partaking of the tree of knowledge there, we got today they're taking of the tree of knowledge too. And some of you call yourself Christians and you're pushing your children for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you need to push them for the revelation of Jesus Christ. But see, people that don't understand, they'll think that the preacher's against learning, against education. Brother, like I say, you know, I'm going to be getting in an airliner heading over to Africa in a few weeks or months, whatever it is. And, you know, and I trust and pray that this dude has been educated that's up there in that left seat, huh? I'm not against education. You know, I found myself busted up in an accident. And there was a dude that taken and sliced my throat, amen, to get in there and had to move my voice box around. I thank God that he wasn't practicing. Amen. That he'd done been in there before. I like education. Amen. But the thing is that there is a tree of knowledge. There is a mind. And you could take that education and let it destroy you through losing humility. And realizing that the most educated man that this world has ever seen was foolish in the mind of revelation in Christ. That's what you got to do to keep the understanding and the balance. Don't let your education try to place you into some plateau higher and above than everybody. Don't let your understanding and measure of Christ set you above, because it'll set you down quicker than anything. Brethren, if you look at somebody in failure, don't look at yourself better. Look at yourself that you used to be there. And have compassion and love for him. I've said this and I'll say it again. I see a lot of these, what they call Bible studies or these groups, or they get together. And all it is a show of narcissism. I'm better. I'm brighter. I'm smarter. I'm the one. Don't you wish you knew as much as I did? I put you in your place. You know, I know more Bible than you. What a stinking stench and a wretch. And you know, that's just bubbling around in puke. It's a dog lapping up the vomit. Think about it. You know, that little tongue licking up the puke off the ground, you know, and sucking it up in its mouth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chewing on them little chunks. That's pretty gross, ain't it? I said that for a purpose. That's you. When you're sitting there licking up your self-conceit and your self-worth and your self-preservation and yourself, it's all about you. There's nothing worse than that. You say, who are you talking to? Every man and woman in this church. Because it's something that lays within our members, and then it's promoted through our society. We're all in competition. Competition, competition. I like competition if it's godly and in order. But sometimes it gets into self-esteem. Amen. You love the Lord this morning? Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. There's some strange doctrines going around right now. Do not be carried away with them. Let's be honest for a minute. Just lift your hand with your pastor. I'll lift both of mine. Who ever been carried away in divers and strange doctrines? Come on, saints. You know, we could be honest with ourselves. We so oftentimes refer to the Apostle Peter. You know, man, that God said, man, you've seen beyond the veil. I'll put it in my expression. Man, you've seen beyond the curtain of time. You've seen into the heavens. God shared this with you. God showed this to you. A few minutes later, he said, get you behind me, Satan. Savoring the things which would be of the flesh. You see, there's a doctrine of the flesh. And it savors. And it's selfish. It desires. It wants. This is why man's got to get a hold of things in his life. He's got to get a handle on certain things in his life. Sometimes we have to practice denying ourselves. You know, come on, we all cater to ourselves, don't we? But if we could show the love one for another like we show for ourselves, boy, we would be some mighty men of God, huh? But how many of us really do that? How many of us are willing to do without for somebody else could have? But sometimes we have the mind that I take away from him for I could have it. I could care less about him. You see, you can't prosper blessed. You know, if you're a contractor, you go on a job, it's not how much money you can make. If you're even thinking, man, I got to make this money, I got to make this money, you poor miserable dog. I know I use bad adjectives. But that's what you are. When you go out there, how can you win that person to the Lord Jesus Christ if they're lost when it's all about you and your business? You know, the Bible said you esteem them better than yourself. I'm here to help you. I'm here to get your job done. You hired me, sir. You hired me, ma'am, to do a job, and I'm going to do the best that I can. And if you're there doing it for free, you're going to do it with the same exuberance if you're making $1,000. Then you've got victory in your life. Well, I get these customers that I just don't like. They probably don't like you neither. We all get them, brethren. So I'm just going to cut corners. We painted a house down in Georgia one time, and I'm sad to say this, but if you go on a paint job with a group of men, boy, down here at the front door where they come in, everything, boy, I mean, it's cut clean lines, man, everything looking slick. But man, you get up on top of a 40-foot ladder and a gable or something up there, they just don't do the work up there, like they're not going to cut it as tight. And it makes sense. You're trying to seal up a job and this and that. But this homeowner come out, we was on the job, and he, man, all of a sudden he appears a pair of binoculars. Boy, and he's looking up there like this. Oh, help me, Jesus. But remember, there's somebody with binoculars on every job. Amen. Sometimes, well, we should replace this rotten board here, but let's just paint it. I want to get paid. You poor thing, you got sin in your life hidden. I was working for a brother that used to be in this church, and he was fixing a house up for sale, and he wanted me to cover up this rotten floor, and I said, absolutely not. He said, look, I own this thing, and you're working for me. And he said, I want you to just do this. I said, I won't do it. And he said, now you're going to cost me money, and you're going to cost me time. I said, I'm not going to cover up this rot. You can do whatever you want. I said, I'll go to my house and get a board and do it myself. But I'm just not going to do it. It made him mad. But the man is full of sin. He's eat up with sin, laden with sin. And the dude's on his way to hell. And you say, all because he would cover up that? It was just an exposure of his life, brethren. Do you think he's going to go to hell because he's covering up rotten wood? No, because it's the manifestation of what that meant. And he's covering up things in his life and painting over it and coating over it and making it look good, but there's no strength under there. You realize I could take a frame? I could take an engine mount on an aircraft that's made out of tubular steel, and I could find rot in that thing. Rust, corruption, corrosion down inside this thing. And I could take and I find a pinhole or some where it is rusted through, and I could take and sand that off a little bit, put a little putty possibly on it, maybe put a little bit of JB Weld on it for some of you that mess around with some of those things, and slick it up and put a new coat of paint on it, and it looks perfect to the eye. But you know, a real good turbulent flight, and all of a sudden that mount fails right there and bends. Now all of a sudden your engine's hanging down and somebody dies. You know, why would a man do that? Because he has no concern for life. A lot of times when you get into the allegories of this and speaking about these things, people don't see the point of it. But there's something that shows forth from the invisible world. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says the mouth speaketh. Out of the whatever's taking place down there, it's going to be seen in your walk, in your actions. Oh, you're keen with your eyesight. You can see my failures and this brother's failures and this sister's failures. You can analyze it. You can talk about it. You can discuss it in front of your children at your dinner table. But you never can see your failures. Brethren, you got to learn to quit making excuses. We make excuses for ourselves. We make excuses for our children. Perfect. Again, the motto in our school, good isn't good enough when better's expected. You see, sometimes we make light of little things and like, oh, well, it's okay. I had a man in my office and I was reproving him for something he's talking about on the job site. And he said, well, that's not what I meant. I don't care what you meant. I'm dealing with what you said. You know, I think Brother Rob's ignorant. Hey, brother, I heard you called me ignorant. Oh, that's not what I meant. You know, well, you're ignorant. Oh, yeah, now we're going to get in a sword fight. You're more ignorant than I am. Where's that going to go to? So you make yourself better than the next guy. Where did that go to? Amen. It's always better to esteem them better than you and love them and show them by example. Sometimes we bark orders, but we don't show by example. I heard another minister talking about another minister here not long ago. It said people can't receive from him. Because this is the things they see that he's doing, but they hear him preaching the right things. Let's all take that for an example. I've had people come to me and said, yeah, but you got a speeding ticket. Yeah, I did. I got about 10 of them. Well, you're supposed to be an example. Yeah, I know. I'm hoping that you help me. We're inexcusable. Amen. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart is established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. There's a revelation lies in these kind of things. Sometimes we don't think about them. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Again, we see many people are, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now let's unveil that a little bit. We can go back into the law in the Old Testament, Don. We can talk about meats that they couldn't eat and different kind of things. And we can get into there and understand that when the grace came, that there was things even when the sheet came down that Peter partook of. But let's talk about the meat of the word for a moment. Let's take this in thought again. We're differentiating. You see, we eat this meat makes us strong, right? But don't forget that element of grace that came in right there with it. You see, what you call the meat or the revelation or the mysteries or these depth things of God, not seasoned with an element of grace, you're going to do nothing more than destroy and hurt and kill. And there's a purpose behind it is because you're proving yourself to be greater and better. And that's the most damnable thing that there is and brings more destruction than anything. condescend to men of less estate. Humble yourself. Be a servant. Show them the love of God. Goes on right there, says, now we're talking about this meat. It says, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. It hadn't accomplished anything for them. Amen? But you couldn't convince them that in their thoughts. We have an altar whereof they have no rights to eat. This is the scripture I was referring to a minute ago. Now listen to this. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Do you understand that? We take the tabernacle, the testimony, and the temple. Some of you want to serve the tabernacle. Everything's about the flesh. Everything's about what you do. The tabernacle's a dwelling place for the Spirit, a dwelling place for the Lord. And we just want to serve the tabernacle. We want to serve the flesh. What can you do for me? What can you do to benefit me? What can you do to help me? What this is about me. It's about my ministry, the ministry of Rob Coons. What a stench. Rob Coons ain't got no ministry. Come on. And I know so many ministers, you know, they have their name on the ministry, and even when they're speaking, they may not have the name, but they say, my ministry. You have been imparted a ministry, yes. And yes, you do have a ministry, but you got to be careful when it all comes back to oneness and differentiation again. You have nothing outside of Him. You're predestined in Him. If you have been imparted a ministry, it's in Him. And when you take it outside of Him is when you lose it. It's when the choosing is changed. We ministered a message the other day, qualifying the qualified. Okay, so you're qualified today. The minister sends you out today, and you find yourself in the field today. You find yourself in the evangelistic field. You find yourself pastoring a church. Do you realize that there could be still things to take that disqualify you? And then all of a sudden, now you're not qualified no longer. I'm a licensed pilot, yes. The only way I could be qualified to go fly and take you flying with me is to have a medical certificate in my pocket. If I don't have a medical certificate in my pocket, then all of a sudden my pilot license means nothing. Same with a truck driver. You're legal to drive a truck and you could take a load and you could do this. You could drive a bus and put people in and get compensated and paid for it. But if you don't have that medical certificate, you're grounded. Well, I guess they're not grounded. They're tied down. You see, qualifications. You were qualified yesterday to get certificated. You were qualified walking in the obedience to the ministry, and you were sent forth through the ordination of God and men, putting in approval. But then yet, Brother Pike sent men out that he broke fellowship with and removed them from ministry because they didn't continue in the qualifications. Amen? I hope we're saying something this morning to help you just a little bit. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. You know, Brother George told a man, he started to speak what Brother George was speaking. Brother George was saying that this guy was going to help him start speaking the same thing that Brother Pike said. And he said, you got no say-so in this matter. He wasn't come to a place that he could eat with us. Because he served the tabernacle. Amen? For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. When you go over and you find Golgotha there, it was outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem there. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Can you praise him in suffering? Can you praise him in adversity? Can you praise him in afflictions? Can you praise him? You better learn. A brother came to me at Little Bethlehem, and Brother George said the man's spirit wasn't right. He said he was wrong, Brother Rob. But I told him what I said to him. Brother Pike got into a preaching about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I mean to tell you, he was plowing the fields deep, and he was hitting it hard and strong. He was going service after service after service, and he was hitting it hard. And a brother came to me out in the parking lot one day, and he says, Brother Rob, I want to ask you a question. And he says, you know, it would appear for a man to say that he had the Holy Ghost to be not humble after hearing the kind of messages that were going forth. It's like, well, who do you think you are, man? The way Brother George been preaching, ain't nobody got the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever remember them messages? I'm laughing now, but I was crying then. But he comes to me and he said, Brother Rom, do you have the Holy Ghost? And I said, well, brother, let me tell you like this. I said, a devil from hell could grab me by my ankles. And he could be dragging me down into the deepest abyss there ever was. And I'm going to be testifying my God and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way and testifying that I have been filled with His Spirit and filled with His power, filled with His grace, and filled with His love. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. You see, brother, we're talking about a profession. Amen. We need to have a profession upon our lips. We need to have a profession from our heart. We need to be speaking those things. And if they're not, you need to be speaking them as if they are. Amen. If you got affliction in your body, sickness in your body, and you got things tearing you down or killing you or destroying you, you need to be professing, my God is real. My God is a healer. My God is a deliverer. My God is all power. My God is sufficient for my need. My God purchased me. He paid for me. He was beaten upon His back for my healing. Amen. His stripes were for me and for my healing. Amen. He delivered me. He set me free. He saved me. Amen. We need to profess that. It needs to be on our lips. And we don't just need to say it, but we need to believe it and let it be from our heart. Amen. Amen. There's people that are born again because they believe in their heart. Amen. The devil believes, but it must not have been deep in the depths of his heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving thanks to His name. Amen. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Communicate's a big word right there. How are we going to break that down? How are we going to differentiate that word communicate? We need communication with God. That's where we need to start at. We need to communicate with our Lord and our God. Many times we make decisions without ever communicating with Him because we think we're God. We don't need oversight because we got everything under control. You need to communicate with God because there could be things that look like it would be His will, and everybody observing, everybody watching, say, boy, look at there, goes a mighty man of God. Look at him turn, plowing the fields there. Man, he's really doing something for God. But we was in a lack of communication, and it profited us nothing, just like we read there a moment ago. Boy, they're in the meat, but it profited them nothing. Boy, they got the meat of the word. Boy, listen to the revelation. Listen to the depths of that brother. Oh, and he sat there. I seen one of the biggest reprobates out of a place called Bethlehem. He came up here to visit, and he sat down, and his sister sat on the floor right before his feet, and he was talking about things he knew not. And she's going, oh, oh. And she's in hell, and he's in hell. But they was just awestruck, oh, man, whew. Whoa, and they knew not what they was even speaking of. Reprobate, if there was ever a reprobate that sat under George Pike, it was this man. One of the biggest perverts and filthy, perverted reprobates that ever was. But boy, if anybody had the revelation of Jesus Christ, it was this man. I'm talking about people's family here, I'm sorry. But I don't care if it's your mama, I don't care if it's your daddy, I don't care if it's your sister, brother, uncle, aunt. When there's a reprobate in the camp, it's a stench in the nostrils of God, and it kills and it destroys. Amen. Well, Brother Rob, you're just too mean. I don't like devils. You can call it mean if you want. You see, brother, I'm not infatuated by lip service. I'm not infatuated by some put together things. I went into a vision, and a man was going into the most beautiful allegories. And I'm thinking, my God, in the vision, I'm thinking, man, this is beautiful. This has got to be the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And all of the things had come to pass. It was the most beautiful put together of the things. But man, there was something, man, sticking me like a knife right in my gut. And I was in pain, literally. It was more than a vision. It was like a trance. I am wide awake now in pain, curled over in my bed with a gut-wrenching knife. And I'm hurting so bad. And I'm struggling in this thing. And I started rebuking. I said, I get you behind me, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And this pain was so real and so hurting. And all of a sudden when I started rebuking it, the pain left me. And God started unveiling what I was seeing. The man is gone from here because he was puffed up in his mind. Thought he had revelation. Thought he had something. And he's dead and full of dead men's bones. And he's sitting under women. And he's fellowshipping with them now. Because he was elevated in his mind and in his thoughts and thought he knew something when he knew nothing at all. And the preacher pours his heart out and tries to reach him, and he's bound in sin and he's lost and he's in familiar spirits today on his way to hell. And my heart's broke. Why do I preach like this? Because the same demon spirits are amongst the brotherhood, and they're pursuing to destroy and to kill. False humility, brethren, doesn't work in this kingdom. You're not partakers to eat of this. It's not for you, because you're all about the tabernacle, and you serve the tabernacle. You serve the flesh. Brethren, there's a temple. There's a testimony and there's a tabernacle. You need to differentiate in whom you serve. When you serve God for benefit for yourself, you haven't come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, when you come to the revelation and you serve Him, you will be blessed. But when there is a point of servitude that where you will receive blessings. The ministers of Satan are blessed. Some of them have two or three jets. Some of them have island houses and homes and mansions, and they got them in the mountains, they got them in the islands, they got them in the valleys. Oh, they're blessed. Boy, and they walk blessed. Boy, they get and they strut before the people. You know, what's that reprobate, perverted, lesbian, dyke, sick sucker that's on TV? The woman, tell me, Brother Pete. Real masculine woman, boy, she. Huh? Hillary Clinton. Joyce Myers? Yeah. I hope that offends you women that are listening to me. Oh, I love Sister Joyce. Well, you're a reprobate pig yourself. Don't talk to me like that. I'm talking to the devil that you got. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't sit under a swine like that. You say, Brother Rob, you just have a problem with women. I sure do. Man, I'll tell you what, I got a problem with my flesh. It's the feminine, and it wants to project itself above God. And I got to take that flesh every single day and say, get you behind me, Satan. Shut your stinking mouth. You're the weaker vessel. Shut your stinking mouth. Amen? I keep things godly and in order. That woman projects herself like a man. That's number one, shows it's got to be a demon. It has to be a demon. If you would get your eyes opened up, you would know that it has to be a devil. A woman is never supposed to show masculinity over a man. Never supposed to show superiority over a man. Never supposed to do that. Amen? You say, Brother Rob, I know women, man, they got this training in martial arts, man, and they're fine, they whoop your hind end. Woohoo, son. Could you imagine such a thing as that? They can't even get where I'm at. You understand that? This isn't a battle between sexes. This isn't a battle between superiority as a man and a woman. We're talking about another dimension here. You understand? I'm the woman. And I'm speaking against the perspective of being haughty and arrogant and pursuing this of the flesh when it takes over headship and rulership and leadership. And it's the flesh making the decisions that I'm serving the tabernacle. And I got no say-so in this matter. I have not eaten of the meat. Amen? Let me tell you how it works in the spiritual dimension. When a woman is married to a beast, Brother Melvin, and this beast is wretched and mistreating her and harming her, this and that, You know, and she says, well, because he's a beast, man, and I'm a Christian, man, I'm going to take headship here. You're ignorant, woman. You don't ever violate the word of God to do that. You can't do that. Amen. You submit like Jesus did to the whip. You submit to the nails. You submit to the beatings. You submit to the spit in the face. And you do that and God is going to move for you because he's going to say, wait a minute, that's my beloved son right there. And he's going to look down on that woman and he said, that is my beloved son there that I am well pleased with. And he is going to bring something to that man that will change him. That man is going to get converted when that woman does that, and he's going to change, amen, when she does that. He is going to change, or God's going to remove him. All she's got to do is submit to God. Amen. Now I could bring that out and differentiate in dimensions if you want. I could unveil that. You understand that? I could unveil that into more than one dimension for you. But brethren, you better get a hold of that revelation. And sisters, get a hold of that revelation. This is a revelation that is very much needed for any Christian to walk in. Amen. Well, I don't understand it. Well, then you need to pray for understanding. You need to pray that your eyes become open, that you could see good when good comes. Let me go on here just for a minute. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for such sacrifice God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. You see, I got to give an account, brethren. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. Help me. Pray for me. There's been times that I've got grief. You know, you say, what are you professing? Sure I am. Confessing. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Do we have a good conscience, saints? But I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, hallelujah, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. What's he perfect you in? Good works. Amen. To do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing. If you don't have no works, brethren, you're not in his good will. Amen. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Let me say that again. This is a significant part of the message. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, which whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. That rule over you. I believe it's Romans 13 that goes into some of that. And you say, oh yeah, you'd go there, you're a preacher, and you want to get people under some kind of submission, some kind of subjection, you're the one, this and that. Brother, I submit. I have to submit. Brother, if a law officer pulls me over, I've got to submit. He's got rule over me. Brethren, you understand that? Now, I know when we get into different powers and different dimensions and different levels, well, you're a pastor, Brother Rob. You know, you rule over a little church, you know. Okay, praise God. But, brethren, let me tell you something. We have to be in an order and in a mind of communication, as we just read there. I need to be communicating with the Lord. Amen, because he's the one who rules over all of us. But he has orders. You see, if Brother Josh back here, if he's in a patrol car in a few days or weeks, whatever it is, he pulls over a man and writes him. He's not writing him a ticket on his authority. He has authority, but it's been a delegated authority from a higher power. He is set in order to do that. When he violates that order, he's disqualified. There's officers that get removed. They abuse their authority. They take advantage of the weak. And there's ministers that do the very same thing. But still, there's an order in God. When you submit to the order of God and the one that you're submitting to is out of order, then God could do something about it. But when you take it into your order, that's when you're going to find a problem. Now, if you're in a place with God, even if an elder is in violation, there's a doctrine in an order of the word of how you deal with that. You don't deal with it on the job site, two brothers smiting or coming against that way. You take it to the elders and you bring it before the brotherhood. There's an order in doing so. Amen. When it gets out of order, then there's an error and a problem. Many of the church structures in many denominations, they've removed the order of God. And they put it to the order of man. You say, well, God uses man. Well, I understand that very much so. And there are elders that have the authority and the power to remove a man, to excommunicate a man. There is authority in the brotherhood to remove even the minister. But there's got to be a violation of the word. If there's not a violation of the word, you're not going to remove him because I offended you because I preached about your uncle. But that happens every day in the ministry and churches. That's why preachers, brother, are afraid to speak and afraid to say anything. Well, you know, I've known preachers that were anointed of God and preached the gospel and preached the word, and they get into these churches and they rebuke this woman because she got a devil. Well, that was Sister such and such, and she was here from the founding fathers and from day one. She's just a stinking fat reprobate is all she is. Come on now. I don't care if she weighs 110 pounds. She's still a fat reprobate, fat in her own gluttony of her own mind and self and her self-conceit. You see, sometimes you got to understand things. I told you you could be numbered as a drunkard, be sober. Never had alcohol in your mouth, but you're numbered as a drunk because you're so loose in your mind and drunk on the affairs of your own mind and of the world. You could be a virgin and burn in hell as a whore. You could be a masculine man that hates sodomites and queers and boy, you the man. But you've been nothing but taking it yourself. And you're a sodomite queer. And you'll burn in hell with every queer chewing on you. Because you've allowed every unclean, filthy demon to have his way with you. There's people laying in the bed of adultery and fornication that are present in church. Never miss a service, but they're so perverted in these other dimensions and realms. You see, you got to learn to see beyond the veil and see with the eyes of the Lord and see what's going on in the spirit. What is the motivating factor? Y'all remember that message? What motivated you to do that? It would have been better that Judas was never born. What motivated him to do what he done? And there's things, brother, that people are motivated by. And their motivations are driving them and pushing them and driving them. But if they would try the Spirit and see if it would be of God, they would see this Spirit that's motivating me isn't of God. It's a familiar spirit. It's a religious spirit. It's a similar spirit. It's an unclean spirit. Amen. And boy, I'll tell you what, when a man's moved by flattery, man, it's a demon spirit and he doesn't understand it. Oh, he'll quote the Bible to you. Oh, man, you know, flattery just diggeth a deep pit. What's a deep pit for? To bury your stench. You can't let flattery move you. You know, when people come to you with flattery, there's nothing wrong if I minister a word of God to you and all of a sudden, man, you get your eyes open to something or you see something. You go, man, Brother Rob, man, I appreciate the word yesterday, man. Thank you, brother. You ministered to me. You helped me. That's not flattery, brother. It can be. It can be, but when you discern the spirit. Usually flattery is to get you on their side with them. Oh, yeah, it may mean use brothers. And all you're going to do is strengthen each other in your errors and your wrongs. And you're going to go to hell with them, each other, and chew on each other. Hell's real, brethren. Let's stand together, brethren. I appreciate you this morning. Appreciate the brothers' labors yesterday and the sisters. Understand they had great accomplishments over here in the printing department, getting things done and ready to send forth. I appreciate it. This is what is the strength of this work, the strength of the Christian Temple Church. Is the family of God and the brotherhood. Amen. We got to unify together. We got to press together. Fight together. Amen. You know, even in the prison systems or out in the worldly things, there's gangs. And they found out there's a strength in unity. If you get 10 Crips standing arm in arm, and then you got 20 Bloods over here standing arm in arm, sometimes there's a little bit of strength in numbers, isn't there? You know, when you got 15 men bound together in one mind and one accord in the heathen side of things, and you're there and they're coming against you, yeah, you'll be frightened. But let me tell you something. When you know that you're standing in the midst of a brotherhood that we're unified together. I've shared the vision with you that Brother Pike had. And he said there was these brethren. And the Lord showed it to him as these horses. And he said they encircled around him. And he was sitting in like a chair. And these horses were shoulder to shoulder. Circled all around about him. And he said, man, you could see the blood veins and the legs of these horses and the muscles sticking out of them. And he said they were such a strong, powerful looking, these horses, and they were all circling around. And he said he looked out beyond them and he said there was wild horses running everywhere and on all different drag. But when they would try to come and penetrate to get to them, he said they were just hitting these other horses that were all around and they were bouncing off of them. He said, just bouncing and bouncing off. And the Lord showed him that was his brotherhood. Amen. And there was a strength around him. Amen. And that's what we got to have here. Amen. You're saying you're talking about for your protection. I'm talking about for we. Brethren, if the head's killed, then there's what happens to the body.
Right.
Amen. Well, the head's Christ. Okay, amen. You got a revelation. But where's the head manifested at? In all of us. But there's still an order in God.
Amen.
An order in Christ. Amen. I'm not projecting myself as anything here this evening, brothers, or this morning. I'm not saying, hey, this is, but I understand God's word. I got to submit to God's word. If I don't like it, I still got to submit to it. Amen. If I can't submit to it, then it'll roll over me and crush me into nothing. Amen. Let's let that happen. Let's just become nothing, for he could be everything. I love y'all. Thank you for the adequate time this morning. I appreciate you. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this morning.
Born again, free from sin, I have why I shout.
Thank you, Lord.
I've been born.
Have you been born again this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I'm born again. Free from sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Happy night and there's no doubt.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Why I shout.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God. Let's give him a wave offering, saints. Just wave the praise and the power and the love back to our Lord and Savior. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I've been freed from sin. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm eternal in the heavens. Nothing can touch me. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing can be laid to my charge. Hallelujah. Why? Because I've been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Amen. Walking in heavenly places. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God.
I'm happy.
Hallelujah.
And there's no doubt. That's why I shout. For I know I've been born again.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm born again.
Hallelujah.
I'm freed from sin. I'm happy now.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm born again. I'm freed from sin. I'm happy night and day. There's no doubt. That's why I shout. For I know I've been born again.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You've been born again this morning? Hallelujah. Well, I was born again before the foundation of the world. Well, let it be seen then. Well, I'm a child of God. Let it be known then. Amen. I'm walking in the Spirit. Amen. Everybody should be able to see that. Amen. Oh, but it's invisible, Brother Rob. Oh, it ain't invisible when you bring this body through the transformation. Amen. It isn't invisible. What's up, young man? Okay. Amen. And have you seen what he's saying?
Looks like a bunch of chairs.
chigger. Yeah, them are awful little things. You know what the Indians call them? No see-ems. Seriously. Some no see-ems. But you can see where they've been. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray for this little brother. Amen. Did you get that when you was out here weeding? Yeah. Okay. Let's anoint him with oil and pray for him. Amen. Little brother's been out here helping and working and getting him a crew. Maybe it's Brother Josh was just maybe screaming all that old meanness out. Maybe it's just showing up down there. Tell you what, I ain't getting near you guys over there, man. That's pretty tough stuff, ain't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray together, saints of God, over this issue. You know, you say, well, this here will pass. Amen. We can pray and believe that it'll pass faster. Amen. Amen. We've seen God do some mighty, magnificent things through the power of prayer. Seen sickness, diseases leave and depart, and death sentences go. Amen. We believe in the power of God. Fathers, I anoint this, my little brother, as your word teaches us, Lord God, to let them that are sick or afflicted to come forward in the church. Father, even as I feel a fever right now in this body, saying that it's fighting. Father God, I rebuke this thing right now. Father, any infection that this is trying to bring into this, my little brother, I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I ask him to remove that right now. Father God, and break this fever, Lord God, after the infection that brought it is taken out of this body in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Father God, show yourself to this, my little brother. Lord, as he's being fashioned and shaped and molded and formed into a man of valor, Lord God. One to carry the word to be a servant unto you. One to bring light into a dark world. One to bring good news and glad tidings and hope to the hopeless. Father God, as we look beyond this little affliction, Father, looking into the purpose and the plan. But Father, we're looking into the purpose and plan, saying, reveal thyself and show him your power, your anointing, that your word is real and manifested in the saints of God this day, Father. We rebuke this in Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name, we say, dry up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Fathers, I feel the virtue of the Lord going into this, my brother, in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father, fill him up with power. Oh, Lord God, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost move through this body. Lord God, touch him. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just as I was starting to remove my hands off of him, done praying, I felt that virtue start going. I said, oh, hey, we better wait here a moment. Amen. Hallelujah. God's timing is not Brother Rob's timing. Amen. I want to be in his timing. Amen. Hallelujah. It's amazing grace. Pray for Brother John. He's supposed to be here this morning, but he said he drank a milkshake last night. We're going to have to keep him away from milkshakes, brother. Ain't no milkshake going to keep me out of church. Amen. Be easy on him, Brother Robbie. He ain't feeling well. I ain't going to pet that thing. He's my brother. I love him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this with him.
I lift my hands up unto thy name.
I praise you, Lord Jesus.
I lift my hands up.
Can you lift up your hands and praise him this morning? He's our Lord and our God. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus, and praise your name. Hallelujah. Some of you sisters come up here. With this sister, please.
And I will lift up my hands and praise.
creation, Lord God.
Thy loving kindness, it's better than life.
Iriata le masandrasa, o se te hendre kishiti li mokoriata le asi. Praise Him, saints. Just worship Him. You can worship away your fears. Worship away your pains. Worship away suffering. Hallelujah. And you can praise Him. Amen. And He'll catch you away into those heavenly places. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How you doing, sister? Bring it down just a little bit. The sister's here for prayer. Amen. I believe I understood everything that you're saying to me, but I do know what I heard the Lord say to me. Amen. He hears your cry and He hears your prayers, but He's also speaking to you like He speaks to me. And there's sometimes, sister, in our walk with Him, that we come to places that He wants to take us a little bit farther. And then when we call on Him for Him to minister to you, He's going to help you right now. We're going to get some relief of the pain that you're talking about. But He's also, at the same time that you're asking Him for help, He's asking you for help. That's the way He works. We have the keys to move Him. We have the means to move Him. We have the ways to move Him. A lot of times we think, well, we're just going to come to altars. The preacher's anointed, and I've known that there's been miracles to take place and this and that. You need to come like that in faith, but He's talking to you. And He's bringing you into a little bit deeper of a place. You got to forget about your former religion, your former things, and the former life. You say, wait a minute, He's moving me into a deeper waters and a deeper walk. And in the deeper waters, there's healing there. There's deliverance there. I prayed for people who don't even know God, even seeking for Him and seeing Him miraculously move for Him. This is God's word and it's His mind. You see, there's miracles and there's healing. Sometimes healing takes place where it comes in a partial order. And it's all of a sudden, it's like, well, you know, I feel better. And you say, well, praise God. But you keep walking in that faith, and then it gets better and better. And then the infirmity's totally gone. And I know you deal with some infirmities. Amen. Your hearing. And then this other, what is it? What's the other MS? Okay. You know, God's the deliverer of that. Amen. He heals and delivers. Amen. Amen. And I know you have a headache. He's standing over there. But we're not going to pray about that one right now. Amen. Some of you brethren, let's gather around this sister with the sisters there. Amen. I got faith in the Lord, brother. Amen. The thing is we're going to pray for this sister to walk in the counsel and the obedience of God. And when you're walking in obedience, we bring forth the blessings of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes because we don't yield to the voice of God, we find sacrifices in our life. Amen? Why is this affliction in this sister? Is it because of her mom's sin or daddy's sin? No, it's for God can show the glory and the power of Him. Amen. God had this moment set forward in the time, in the portals of history, amen, that He said, I could show my power, hallelujah. I could show my authority. I could show my strength, that I'm still on the throne, that I'm still a healer, amen, that I'm still a deliverer. Woo, hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God, amen, and the power of His holiness, amen, hallelujah. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. I say that this, my sister, is delivered and set free by the power of God in Jesus Christ's name. I rebuke MS in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I say, Lord God, as you're opening up the spiritual ears to hear what you say, I say, bring healing to these natural ears in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord God. You've opened up ears right here in this sanctuary, Lord God, in all dimensions. And Father, I rebuke this affliction. I say, open up ears, open up eardrums in Jesus Christ's name, and let the vibrations, oh Lord God, of sound be heard clearly in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you've heard this prayer. I thank you, Lord God, that you orchestrated this before the world ever was. And Father, bring deliverance and strength and salvation to this, my sister, and let her have that peace. And let her walk in the obedience of your voice and your word. And don't let her reason against you no longer, Lord God. Don't let her question you, Lord God. Let her walk freely in the liberties of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand, saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Exalt thee. Can you exalt him this morning? Lift him up and praise him. He's worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor. Hallelujah. You're my Lord and God and King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Lord, praise him in the prison cells. Brother Sergeant, praise him in the prison cells. Worship him, amen. And you'll hear the chains fall off. You'll hear the bonds and the doors open up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Our God's a miracle-working God. He's still moving in the affairs of the people. He's still setting the captives free. Amen. Hallelujah. He's bringing sight to the blind. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. When is it? You know, I say God's moving. God's or I want to slow down enough. Amen. Because I could be that man numbered with running and beating at the air and accomplishing nothing. Oh, I could say, man, I was here, I was there, I preached, I done this, I done that. But my accomplishments is what shows. It's the fruit. Amen. You know, I could plant an orchard and you think, hey, man, beautiful orchard. But we want to see the beautiful fruit coming off that orchard, right? The fruit is the product. The fruit is something that sustains life. You can't eat the tree branch or the leaf. Amen. But you could eat the fruit from the tree. Amen. We're the fruit of the Spirit, brethren. You understand? We're a book that has to be eaten, has to be read. You got to drink of my blood and eat of my flesh. And he said, that's what the Lord said. And they didn't understand it. And they still don't today. Amen. But the fruit of the vine is the blood of the grape. Amen. You understand that? The blood of the grape is something that sustains life. Amen. And the life force is in the body of Christ today. And we must eat of that body. We must eat of that flesh to have life. Or otherwise we'd have no part thereof. Sometimes, brethren, we have to slow things down just a little bit. Say, oh, man, I can't. Man, I've got a vision. I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. I'm running. But even the man with a purpose and a plan, when I'm flying an airplane, I leave out of Greensboro, North Carolina. I say, brother, where are you going? I'm on my way to LAX, Los Angeles. I got me a purpose. I got to be in California. I got me a plan. I know the route. I know how much fuel it's going to take. I know where I got to stop for fuel. I know the route. I know the altitude to fly at. I know the vectors. I know all that I need to know to take this thing. But somewhere, while I've got it all worked out and I'm going, I need to be submitted and listen, because I might get a call, such and such aircraft. You know, we're going to have to deviate you. Amen? We're going to take you and we want you to turn to such and such heading. And you say, well, man, I'm getting off course. No, you're going around something that will make you where you never get to the completion of the course. Amen. And we're under the order of a God all the time. And we can be so dogmatic in our course and think that we know where we're going, but somewhere he might deviate the course. Brother Pete was sharing a little story with me yesterday about some preacher. I don't know who he was. He never called a name, but he was ministering a message. And he said the Lord would be sent forth to go somewhere, but there would be a deviation somewhere. A woman might just touch his garment. He was on his way to another place, but there was something that happened in the route. A woman got set free from an unclean spirit. Amen. Something that would keep her outside the camp, just like a leopard. The issue of blood is something that the blood they knew was the corruptible part, and it would keep them out. They couldn't go into the priest. They couldn't go into the sanctuary. They couldn't do the things and be part of the partakers of God with an issue of blood. You understand that? And the thing is she wasn't have the freedom to go before the counsel of God. So she slips in there and touches the hem of the garment. Amen. And gets delivered and set free from an issue. Amen. That brought life to her. Not just to prolong that life, but see, he was deviated from his course there. There was another place he was heading to, but it brought forth. You see, can you be deviated in your course? You're so strong spirited and strong in your spirit sometimes. You got this plan set and you don't allow God to bend you and to move you and to shape you and mold you. He's the potter, you're the clay. You're satisfied with your shape, but he wants to continue to mold it to perfect it. But you won't allow him to, because you are satisfied within your own mind, your own will, your own thoughts, and you've already the most beautiful thing God ever created. You know what I am? A hunk of clay. Amen. He's still molding on me. Amen. Oh, you're so humble, Brother Rob. Let me tell you something. You'll never see the masterpiece until that one day this whole flesh and tabernacle's removed and you're going to see the glory and the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not perfecting the mold of the man part. He is all things. Amen. And when he sees you as him, then that's when you've arrived and made it. Amen. So you got to know who you are again. It all comes to a simple thought of knowing who you are in Christ. You continue to pray for Brother Randy. Amen. We're trusting the Lord. Amen. Brother Pike said, Brother Jimmy said, go down and let him find out what's going on. Let him find out what's going on. I've been dealing with him for 21 years. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. I'm his doctor. I love you, man. Amen. I'm still probing around in there. Amen. Hallelujah. I can tell you one thing for a fact. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. Let's sing that as we close the service. Amen.
Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going. Good song to close in. Right. Amen.
Since Jesus came and saved my soul.
Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. It doesn't matter what the warden says, everything's going to be all right. It don't matter what the judge says, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Don't matter what the boss says. Don't matter what the wife says. It don't matter what the husband says. But everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm a child of the living God. Hallelujah. And he lives in me and I'm in him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. It don't matter what the doctor says. Everything's going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Came and saved my soul.
Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be all right, saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.